Hello, class. We're going to get into a brief word of prayer and get right into our lesson for today. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And we just thank you, Lord God, that we're going to show forth the praises of you who've called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We thank you for this school, Lord God, ever-increasing word training center. We thank you for our apostle, Lord God, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., the visionary, Lord God, of this school and this ministry. And I thank you right now, Lord God, hallelujah, that each student will get everything they need from these classes, Lord God, and that they're going to be a blessing to each and every person, Lord God, and they're going to go about and be about their Father's business. And I thank you, Lord God, as always, Lord, I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to show up, because if he don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. So I'm leaning completely and totally upon him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, class, we're going to continue our lesson and our teachings on the spirit of honor. Today, we're going to be talking about how to build honor. And one of the things I want to kind of point out, a lot of the examples may seem to be from people or negative connotations of dishonor. But one way I've learned how to build honor is when I see or read about in the Bible examples of dishonor, I learned to do just the opposite. And I believe in learning from other people's mistakes in the area of honor or dishonor so that now I can reverse it and show honor. But what we're going to be talking about today is how to build honor. The first thing I want to state is that honor grows generations. So when you sow honor and sow the seed of honor, the generations or your legacy is blessed. And what I mean by that is your offspring, your children, your children's children. You know, when you sow seeds of honor, the generations are blessed. Honor grows generations. Okay? So when you sow honor and the seeds of honor that you sow causes the generations to prosper, causes them to bless. And word blessed means empowered to prosper. It grows a generational legacy of blessings. What I want to show from the Word of God, let me get my Bible. We're going to be first starting off in Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. We're going to be looking at Noah and his three sons and how two of the sons were blessed, but one son, because of his dishonor to his father, he was cursed. All right, I'm going to start reading in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 20. And it says, "And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken and was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without." So Ham, being one of Noah's sons, saw that his father, his nakedness in the tent and him being drunk. And he went and he basically disrespected and dishonored his father by exposing and talking about, in somewhat, the author talks about it as being in a facetious way, about Moses' nakedness and drunkenness. And it says in verse 23, now this is what the two brothers did. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. So by backing up with the garment and stepping back, they covered the nakedness, or to keep their father from being exposed where others could see his drunken state. They honored their father, even though Noah was probably wrong for what he did. But it's so important for, as a son, if you're a son of a spiritual father, to cover your father, you know, to undergird him, to be there, you know, be an armor bearer, be there, support. And even though nobody is perfect, you know, so when someone makes a mistake, you cover it and you help build them back up so they can continue the work that God has called them to do. Okay, and let's move on. And it says in verse 24, and Noah woke from the wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Verse 25 says, and he said, now this is what Noah said, okay, cursed be Cana, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Now, it stated earlier on that Ham was the father of Cana. It says in verse 22, and Ham, the father of Cana. So Noah, not only was Ham cursed, but Ham being the father of Cana was cursed. In other words, his lineage was cursed. His legacy was cursed. It goes on to say, verse 25 again, and he said, cursed be Cana, a servant of servants shall thou be unto thy brethren. And verse 26, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant. So his son Shem, he said, blessed be, you know, my son Shem, Cana will be your servant. And then in verse 27, he says, and God shall enlarge Joseph, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant. So here you have three brothers. Two of them were God enlarged them and expanded them. Here we see Jacob. He says here that, you know, God shall enlarge him. So in other words, increase was going to take place in his life. Whenever you're enlarged, that means increase. So he was blessed. You know, the two brothers who covered their father's neck and they were blessed. They honored their father. They didn't disrespect their father. And because of that, they were blessed. But Ham, who was the father of Cana, became a servant. Going back to what we stated earlier, honor grows the generations. But dishonor, when you sow a seed of dishonor, the generations are cut off. Your heirs, your legacy is cut off. Proverbs 26:2 says, as the bird by wandering and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. There is always a reason why the curse takes place in a person's life. Is something you did, some disrespectful or dishonorable thing that was done that causes the curse, or some area of disobedience was done that causes the curse to come. So there's always a reason. There's always a reason why generations of a person's legacy is cut off and fall under curse. So the curse causeless shall not come. Honor grows generation of blessings upon your legacy. Dishonor castrates your generational destiny. I'm going to read that again. Honor grows generational blessings upon your legacy. Dishonor will castrate your generational destiny. When a generational destiny is castrated, it will not reproduce. When you castrate it by sowing seeds of dishonor, you castrate or you cut off. We're not going to get into Absalom today, but Absalom never had an offspring. Because he sowed dishonor into his father David, his legacy was cut off. So it's very important that we, our natural parents and our spiritual father, never dishonor, but always show honor. So we're going to move on. Anytime a person sows a dishonor seed against their legacy, their inheritance from their spiritual father, the ability to possess the future is cut off. Dishonor will castrate your destiny. Sometimes we have ministers, even leaders, who disqualify themselves. In doing so, their ministries become crippled. or get into a state of what I call lodabar, low-level living, because of their dishonor. They disqualify themselves by ditching or walking away or dishonoring their spiritual father and talking badly about him because for whatever reason. I personally know and have been around and seen people who had God's hand was definitely on their lives. They were on the right path, but something happened. Envy, jealousy. We talked about pride a couple of weeks ago. Pride got in the way, you know, and they began to speak badly or dishonor the very person God sent to be the blessing in their lives. And by doing so, their ministries were cut off. And every now and then I'll run across a person who I've known, you know, 20, 25 years ago, and I see them. And I know that when they left wrong. And one of the things I always ask them, I says, you know, are you still doing ministry, or what kind of ministry are you doing? And several of them said, since I left the church, I really haven't done any ministry. I'm not ministering. One guy just hung his head down and says, no, I haven't. And I'm saying, you know, you castrated. I'm thinking you castrated your destiny, you know. So it's so very important that we know how and learn how to sow seeds of honor properly, so that our generational legacy will grow. We will grow. The generations will grow. Our children, our children's children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. That is so vital that we understand that principle. Now we're going to look at how to sow honor and what it will do for us when we sow seeds of honor. And for that, we're going to be going to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. Let me get there right quick in my Bible. First Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. And we're going to be talking about Jabez and what he did in regards to his natural mother by being more honorable than his brothers. And by doing so, he was enlarged. Okay, if you have your Bibles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. It says in verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Semicolon. So it's not saying that his brothers were not honorable, but what it is saying is that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Then it goes on to say, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrow. So she bore him in sorrow or much pain or much grief. So she named him Jabez. Verse 10 says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that thou may not that it may not grieve thee. And God granted him that which he had requested. So now Jabez's prayer, he said that you know, that you would enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it might not grieve thee. And the Lord granted him his request. So why was, you know, Jabez wasn't the first person to pray, Lord, enlarge my coast, that your hand might be on my life. But why did God grant Jabez that request? Well, the reason why God granted Jabez that request was because the first thing Jabez did was he was more honorable. It says that, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, I bear him in sorrow. So here we see the scripture tells us why his mother named him Jabez, because she, like you said, she bore him in sorrow. Jabez, despite the fact that he was born in sorrow, born in the slums, probably. He caused his mother much pain. He probably didn't know his father. But he never hated his mother. He never ditched his mother. He never despised his mother. He never talked bad about his mother. We're talking his natural mother. But he was more honorable. In other words, in order to be more honorable, you take care of your mother. You watch over her. You be there for her. You know, he did what it took more so over and above than what his brethren did. Instead, he showed more honor to his mother than his brothers for being a life source unto him. He honored the very life source that brought him into the world. He never disrespected his mother because of their situation. You know, he wasn't more honorable because he prayed that prayer. He wasn't more honorable because of his act of intercession. He was more honorable because he honored, he was honored and God granted him his request because the fact that he honored his mother. Even though he had a legitimate cause to be bitter and to be angry and to renounce or denounce his mother, instead he showed honor. And by doing so, he was blessed. Listen to this. It is required by God that you honor every life source. Jabez honored his mother, who was a life source, who gave life. We talked about that in the first couple of weeks of class. A life source is anyone who gives life, who nourishes life, who, you know, by preaching and teaching the word, Jesus said, you know, my words are spirit and life. So if you have a pastor or a man of God or an apostle that you're submitted to and they're speaking life unto you, it's so very important that we honor and respect what God has, the life source that God has placed in our life. The Bible says, and God granted him his request. He, Jabez, wasn't the only person that prayed that prayer. As I stated earlier, there were others, but God granted him that request. And the reason why was because he sowed an honor seed. He sowed countless honor seeds. He learned how to sow an honor seed, and by doing so, he was blessed. Like I said earlier, I personally have seen ministry gifts who attack spiritual leaders and they verbally discredit them. And because of these attacks, their ministry was crippled. I've seen people who the very same sin or area where their father might have fallen in, years later, they were attacked that same way and fell the very same way, simply because instead of doing what Shem and Jacob did, backing up and being a covering for their spiritual father, they disrespected and dishonored them. So the same thing that happened to the person that they should have been submitted to and covering end up consuming them. All right, so we're going to now look at an example of someone who honored their father to the fullest. And the best example that we have in the Bible is Jesus. Okay? Before we go into that, I want to make this statement. If you sow a dishonor seed with all the anointing you have, you will cancel your ministry. You cancel it because dishonor breaks the generations, but sowing honor enlarges your coast. Okay, so now let's look at Jesus being an example. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, it says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifices and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. This is prophesying about Jesus' birth. It says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Jesus came to earth to do the will of the Father. That was key. He says, I come in the volume of the book, O Lord, to do thy will. One of the things I want to point out in a way to produce honor is to find God's will for your life and begin to pursue that with all gusto. You know, whatever church, whatever ministry God has assigned you to, this is critical, because it's important that you be where God has called you to be. It's important that you are at the brook that God placed you at, because just like when Elijah, the Lord sustained him, led him to a particular brook, God will lead you to a particular man of God, to a particular ministry, and you're there for a purpose, and you got to understand that purpose and make that purpose firm in your heart, because God will connect you and hook you up to a man of God, and through that connection, through that proper alignment, everything you need is going to be provided to you through that pipeline. You know, your blessings, your deliverance, your generational legacy will grow because of your connection. And that's so very important. Simple principle, but you just would be surprised how many people don't adhere to it, don't understand its fullness. So let me read on a little bit about Jesus. In verse 9, this is Hebrews 10 and 9, it says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." That's Jesus saying, I've come to do thy will. And I have here, a vision is a redemptive plan of God. He calls you to hook up to a vision, and in that vision will be your provision. So if once you know, and that's why I tell people, make sure you are where God wants you to be. You know, if you're a minister, make sure you're in the city God wants you to be. God will now bring in people to undergird and help support and help you to launch your ministry and help that ministry grow. And they will be there to honor you. Or if you're in the ministry of helps, God will place you somewhere where you're now able to support and undergird your man of God so that the ministry can grow and so that the pipeline of blessings can flow down, always flowing down from the top to every area of the body of Christ, as long as you stay in proper alignment, alignment with the assignment. That's important. You have to be aligned with the assignment. Jesus brought glory to God by going to the cross. That was his assignment. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that through his death, through his burial and resurrection, that we can have the newness of life. You know, that's so very important. You bring glory to God when you honor him by fulfilling God's will for your life. You bring glory and honor to God, and God will honor you because you honored the assignment. Amen. Then it goes on. Let me see. Make sure I'm not missing anything. Let's look at John chapter, the book of St. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Jesus brought glory to God by going to the cross. All right, I stated that. Okay, let me start at verse 2. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh," this is talking about Jesus, "that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that thou might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Jesus stated here, this is his high priestly prayer, John 17, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do." Jesus did the will of the Father. Verse 5, "And now, O God, glorify thou me." In other words, honor me with thine own self, or with thine own honor, with the glory which I had had, which I had with thee before the world was. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word." So here Jesus is telling the Father, you know, the 12 that you sent me to teach, to mentor, to be a spiritual father to, you know, I've given them thy word. I've been an example to them. You know, I'm about to be offered up as a sacrifice for sin for the world. And now he's telling Jesus to God to glorify him with the same glory that he had from the very beginning when he sat at the right hand on the throne of God. Listen to this. The greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. One way to show honor towards your spiritual father is by walking in the revelation knowledge he has released and having physical manifestation from the spiritual truths that your father has taught and passing those truths on to others. So the greatest seed you can sow is an honor seed. And one way to sow an honor seed is by taking the spiritual truths and the revelation knowledge that has been released by your spiritual father and having physical manifestation of that in your life. And then now you're taking those truths and you're imparting them to somebody else and to others. So it's what's called reproduction. One thing about the body of Christ, everything about God is on a reproductive state, you know. You sow a seed in the ground, that seed is going to reproduce a bountiful harvest. One seed, Jesus was a seed. And because of him dying and rising up in the newness of life, he brought forth a bountiful harvest of believers all over the world. This ministry is a result of the seed that Jesus bore. Every ministry is a result of the seed that Jesus bore. When he offered himself up, you know. So never underestimate the power of a seed. Never underestimate when you speak into somebody's life. When you fulfill your assignment by doing what God called you to do, by undergirding your man or your woman of God, and being in proper alignment to the assignment. Doing what you've been called to do, and never underestimate the impact that you're going to have on other people's lives by fulfilling that will. You know, because one of the things the Lord shared with me many years ago, he said that they are watching you. You know, people are always, if you're in leadership or God has placed you in any type of position, people, you know, they see the blessing on the man of God's life, but when they see other people reproducing the blessing and they begin to see the goodness of God and they see your service, it motivates them. There have been people who motivated me because I saw their dedication, their yieldingness, their submission, and how them and their families were blessed because they aligned up with the assignment and God blessed them. When the enemy tried to come and you know, and bring harm to some of their family members, their loved ones, God raised them up. And, you know, it's like it never happened. Why? Because when you begin to serve God and serve your man of God in that capacity, you become valuable to him. And you cannot help but be blessed, because when you honor him, God will honor you. All right, let's go on. We're going to talk about Jesus, and I didn't get into it like I wanted to. Jesus, our example, honored the Father by completely carrying out God's will on the earth. Matthew 26:38-39, and then also 42. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Verse 42. And he went away again a second time and prayed and saying, O my Father, if this cup may pass not away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Jesus walked in perfect, in the perfect will and perfect submission to the Father. And because of this degree of honor towards God, the Father, that Jesus showed, that enabled God to highly exalt him. Now you go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible in Philippians. And we're going to see, because of the example, or because of the submission and the willingness of Jesus. You see, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I just read that, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He recognized that he was about to be separated, even though he was going to only be temporarily from the Father, because Jesus was always before his Father's face. He always prayed to the Father, you know. And when he was on that cross, Jesus became sin for us. And sin will separate you from the presence of God. Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world and became sin, went to hell in our place, and paid the penalty of sin, which is death, and death with punishment in hell and separation from God. But because he was there illegally, he paid the price for our sin. So God raised him up. And it says here in Philippians, this is the example that we should follow. And I should say the example of honor we should follow. It says in Philippians 2, and verse, we're going to start at verse 5. It says, "Let this mind," or this attitude, and I'm reading from the Amplified, "let this attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Jesus Christ. Let him be your example of humility." One of the key elements of walking in honor, before honor, is humility. You have to walk in godly humility. He said, "Let him be your example of humility." Verse 6, Amplified Bible. "Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness and the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained." Jesus was willing to give up all of that for the purpose of dying on the cross to be the Savior for the world. It says in verse 7, Amplified Bible, "but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful deity, so that to assume the gaze or the guise of a servant or a slave, in that he became like a man and was born a human being." Verse 8, "and after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience," key word, obedience, "to the extreme of death, even death on the cross." And because of his humble act of obedience, or his extreme act of dying on the cross, to be the scapegoat or the sacrifice for the world, it says, "Therefore God, therefore because he stooped so low, God highly exalted him, and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in heaven and in earth, and that every tongue should frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Listen to this. It was because Jesus had humbled himself to do the Father's will that caused God to highly exalt him. It was because that Jesus humbled himself to do the Father's will that God highly exalted him. Unfortunately, there are many young ministries, young gifts in the body of Christ that are immature, sometimes untrained, and do not know how to flow in proper spiritual protocol because of not being wise, not paying attention, or not being trained properly. As a direct result, we You know, they'll say wrong things against spiritual dignitaries. They will dishonor apostles and prophets. They'll dishonor their pastors. They'll criticize, be critical, and not learn how to submit. They'll get that notion like Ham did, to go about and talk about something a wrong instead of trying to correct it, and their generations are cut off. These young lions, or these young men, they like one key element in honor. They like the spirit of wisdom. It's so very important that you and I walk in wisdom. Proverbs 3 and 13 and 6 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold." She is precious. She is precious, more precious than rubies. It's talking about wisdom. And all the things that thou canst desire cannot be compared to her. It's talking about wisdom. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. So listen to this. In building honor, the first thing you have to walk in is the spirit of wisdom. In building honor, the first thing that you must walk in, or you have to have, is wisdom, godly wisdom. So the first thing we should be praying for is wisdom. Lord, give us wisdom. Wisdom is a principal thing. It is biblical to pray for wisdom. In James 1 and 3, it says, "Knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally and unabraded not, and it shall be given him." Jesus grew in wisdom. He increased in wisdom. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man." Wisdom is the principal thing. Most importantly, first in order, wisdom. You know, we need godly wisdom. In our everyday lives, in ministry, in everything that you do, always ask God for wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her. Listen up. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Wisdom will bring you to honor when you embrace her. The worst thing to not have is to be ignorant and unlearned, untrained, because of a lack of wisdom. Wisdom will lead you in the path of righteousness. Wisdom will lead you to the brook that God wants you to be at, where you can be nourished up, lead you to the man of God, lead you to the ministry. And wisdom will cause you to get in the proper alignment, in the position that you need to be, so that you can undergird your man of God and begin to honor him properly. Wisdom will show you how to honor your man of God properly. And wisdom will, when you exalt her, let me just read it again. I got about 34 seconds. It says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Verse 8, Proverbs 4 and 8, "Exalt her," or exalt wisdom, "and she shall promote thee." She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. And with that, we're going to conclude, and we'll see you next week.